Darlene was born in Boone, Iowa in 1917. She grew up surrounded by a loving family and by rich cornfields. By the time she was 13 years old, she determined that she would be a missionary. And she wrote in her journal this bold prayer, "Lord, I will go anywhere with you, no matter what it costs." In her early 20s, full of youthful zeal and excitement and enthusiasm, Darlene traveled to the Dutch East Indies to begin her work as a missionary. She was going somewhere new and exciting. Darlene became the first American woman to ever enter the Balliol Valley of New Guinea. Darlene had a stunning vision of what her life could be. This morning, we read the Song of Zechariah as our canticle. It's Zechariah's prophecy about Jesus, but also about his own son, John the Baptist. Zechariah declared about John the Baptist, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way." Zechariah had a stunning vision of what his son John's life could look like. Zechariah was a priest, and he clearly envisioned that his son would follow in his footsteps, wearing fine vestments and offering prayers that inspired people and helping prepare the world for the arrival of Christ. In Zechariah's words, we hear this same zeal and hope and excitement that Darlene experienced. And I venture to say that we've all been there at some point. We start out with fire in our hearts, full of faith, full of excitement, eager to trust God and follow wherever God leads. But my question is, have you come upon a moment where your excitement, your vision for your life runs headlong into a broken reality? Life happens. At first, Darlene found that her life in the Dutch East Indies was beautiful. It was exactly as she had dreamed. She was serving Christ. She was serving her neighbors. She was teaching about God's love. But then in 1942, Japanese forces invaded, and Darlene was thrown into a prison camp where she faced forced labor and malnutrition, and her body was ravaged by disease. And she thought back on this bold promise that she once made, "Lord, I will go anywhere with you, no matter what it costs." Darlene had a beautiful vision for her life, but it quickly ran headlong into the realities of World War II. Similarly, Zechariah's vision for his son's life, for John's life, was beautiful, but it came up against a reality that was far from ideal. John's ministry was not in palaces or in places of honor, but in the wilderness. And he didn't wear fine vestments, but camel's clothes, camel's hair. And some certainly saw him as a prophet, but others certainly thought that he was crazy. And John's boldness in declaring the truth to the religious elite and the leaders of his time ultimately cost him his very life. I suspect that many of us, and frankly, probably all of us, have had moments when our zeal and our hope and our excitement were dashed by reality. We've taken bold steps of faith only to find ourselves facing challenges that we didn't see coming. A new job didn't work out, or a relationship fell apart, or a commitment to follow God wherever He leads takes us to the wilderness instead of the mountaintop that we had envisioned. However, that doesn't mean we've failed God. As a matter of fact, it's almost the opposite. It's during these times when our plans go awry and we find ourselves surrounded by pain and disappointment that we may best be able to serve those in need. You see, following God is not a promise of ease, but it's a call to perseverance. It's a call to service. If you've been to the mall recently, or if you've been to a store recently, maybe starting on your Christmas shopping, you probably have begun to hear this Christmas music that will be playing on an endless loop for the next 3 weeks or so. We'll hear things like Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. It's a beautiful image, a stunning image. But if we're being honest, how many of us live in that kind of peace? I have a toddler at home, and he has a bit of a cold right now, I think. And let me assure you, calm and bright are not the realities of my house. Silent nights are generally rare at my home. And yet we carry this idea that if God is really present with us, then our lives should be perfect. They should be calm and serene and beautiful and bright. But that's never the message that God said. God didn't wait for a perfect world to enter it. God came into a broken world. He was born in a dark night in a crowded, chaotic stable amidst the cries of labor and the smells of livestock. God entered the very mess of the world that we so often think we should escape. And God continues to show up in the mess of the world today. At some point, I invite you to look at a Bible. Pick it up. How long do you think that it told the story of a perfect world? If you look at your Bible, it's about a page, maybe a page and a half, of the 1,000 pages in the Bible. By the time we get just a few chapters into Genesis, perfection is a distant memory. Everything seems to have unraveled, and yet page after page, God continues to show up. God is present. The pain, the problems, the disappointments, they don't reveal God's absence. Instead, they reveal an invitation. And the invitation is this: to join God in God's work of transforming the world, to go into the dark places, to go into the brokenness, and to remember that imperfection does not mean that God has abandoned us. You might be thinking right now, I agree with all that, but I can't fix the brokenness in the Middle East or the Ukraine. I can't fix the problems at the border or the violence infecting our nation. I can't fix the brokenness of the world. But the places we find ourselves every day, the blocks surrounding this very cathedral, or your neighborhood, or even the place you work, they are broken too, broken by homelessness or by family discord or by distrust. And God calls us not to escape the mess, but to go into it, to find these places and bring love and hope and justice. You see, the question isn't whether our lives will play out the way we think they should. Because the answer, I promise, is they won't. The question is, how will we respond when the reality doesn't measure up to our dream? Because that's where faith comes in. The real test of our faith is not how we respond when everything's perfect, but how we respond when nothing is. And in those moments, when we choose to give and to love and to serve, even when it's hard, that's when God's presence can be most clearly revealed in our lives. Even in the darkness, the depths of a Japanese prison camp, Darlene radiated God's love to those around her. She shared meager food rations with others. She offered prayers of encouragement to those who were feeling hopeless and despondent, and she cared for the sick with unwavering compassion. Her kindness and faithfulness became a beacon of hope to the other people in this prison camp, reminding them that God's presence can still be seen even in the darkest of places. And Darlene's story didn't end in this prison camp. She was released in 1945 when Allied forces liberated the region. Back in the United States, it could have been easy for her to retreat into bitterness or despair. But Darlene's life became an ongoing testament to the power of God's sustaining love and God's call in our lives. She met a man, Gerald Rose, and married him, a man who shared her vision for serving Christ around the world. And together, she brought him back to New Guinea, where she'd served before. And they worked together to tirelessly share the message of God's love, serving those around them, offering support in terms of education and health care. Even after Darlene and Gerald retired and returned to the United States decades later, she continued to devote herself to sharing God's love and how God had used her life. In the 1980s, nearly the 1990s, she published a book called Evidence Unseen. It detailed her journey of suffering, but also faith. And it offered a real, raw, honest look at how even when her life didn't go to plan, and maybe most especially when her life didn't go to plan, that is when God had work for her to do. You see, one of the dangers for us as people of faith is when we get so focused on how we think things should be, and this collides headlong with the reality of how things actually are. It can be tempting to think that pessimism and despair have the final word. But the Bible, our faith, tells a very different story. Over and over again, the Bible calls us into the brokenness of the world, not away from it. We're reminded that you and I are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And in this broken and imperfect world, God has work for us to do. After all, John the Baptist's life looked far different from this poetic vision that Zechariah had and this prophecy that we read today. But this doesn't mean that John the Baptist's life was a failure. As a matter of fact, in John's final days, Jesus sent a message to John so that he would understand how his work, how his ministry was helping God's kingdom break into the world. Jesus said to these messengers, "Report to John what you have seen. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." And then Jesus said, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." Though John the Baptist's life and ministry were far from Zechariah's poetic vision, his role in God's plan was indispensable. And you may feel like your life is not going to plan, but you have a role, I have a role, that are also indispensable in God's plans. We have work to do. We are meant to be an outpost for hope, an embassy for love, a sign of God's kingdom breaking into the world here and now. Both John the Baptist and Darlene remind us that God's plans usually unfold in ways that we do not expect. Their lives remind us that faithfulness does not mean ease, but it does mean that we have work to do, and in this work, we can find purpose. So when we're in the midst of the struggle, when it looks like the world is falling apart, when nothing seems to be going to plan and all our visions for our lives are being thrown out the window, are we willing to focus on our call to serve others? Are we willing to listen to God? Are we willing to offer the prayer, Lord, I will go with you anywhere, no matter what it costs. No matter what it costs. Amen.